Our Father, we do thank and praise you that you are the rock of ages. Thank you for the security we find in you. And would we learn more of that this morning as we open Matthew's Gospel together? In Jesus' name, amen. Do be seated. And the question in our passage today is, what are you afraid of? Because there is much in this world which is truly frightening. I mean, maybe you, like me, know some people who don't even want to watch the news because it reminds them of what's out there, of what we could face, whether it's a storm or an earthquake or a flood or a tsunami. And it's obvious to all of us that when one of those strikes, we are powerless to do anything about it. Of course, in this country, on the whole, we don't get such extreme conditions, but even this, snow and cold, is dangerous to some. And yet, even if we aren't affected so much, there are aspects of nature, we could call it, which still dramatically impact our lives, often for the worse. You could think of the cells in our bodies, which can start a malfunction and then replicate, and the tumours grow. Or imagine a man having a heart attack when he happens to be driving the lorry coming towards you. In fact, if you put your mind to it, it's not hard to come up with an ever-growing list of scenarios which can be deadly, and we could be at the end of it. Maybe that's what happens late at night. So what can we do in the light of all this? Well, I guess we all try and stay out of harm's way, obviously. Maybe we bury our head in the sands, pretend it's not there. We hope for the best. And yet we'll all know there are those moments when it all comes a bit close to home, whether it's us or those we love. The fragility of life in this world strikes again. Well, today's installment in Matthew chapter 8 is all about what happens when Jesus and his disciples face the deadly chaos of our world. So turn with me again to Matthew chapter 8. It's page 981, page 981. Matthew 8, and we've reached verse 23. When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. They went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" Well, in Matthew 8, over the past few weeks, we've seen, haven't we, the astounding authority of Jesus. We've had leprosy, paralysis, fever, every kind of sickness, evil demons. Not surprisingly, seeing Jesus in action, crowds flocked after him. And then last time, remember, Jesus spelt out, well, okay, this is what it does mean to follow. Do you remember? He pointed out he had nowhere to lay his head, and his followers could expect the same. And he told them he wanted followers so long as their first commitment was to him, even before family. Now, hearing Jesus say that, we realize it's a radical demand. The world would say foolish. And as we hear those things, we might think, well, if I really throw in my lot with a Jesus like that, well, there's so much I maybe could fear. I could lose out. Can I really follow Jesus in the way that he asks? And not surprisingly, that brings us to today's verses. And notice how verse 23 begins. As Jesus gets into the boat, we are told the disciples followed him. So here is Matthew saying, this theme of discipleship is still on the agenda. Well, as they stepped into that boat, no doubt all was well that evening, and they pushed off from shore. But as we know, that soon changed in verse 24. There arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. Again, our Sunday school familiarity maybe makes us immune to the shock, really, of verse 24. Must remember who it is that is experiencing all this, because those disciples are no casual day trippers who are here caught out by a turn in the weather. they're feeling a touch seasick. It's nothing like that, because remember, these are fishermen, experienced, hardened, weather-beaten men. They knew this lake like the back of their hands. They'd faced countless storms, no doubt, before. But this one was different. Now, as we know, Wales is renowned for its rain, but the rain is rarely life-threatening. But it was around midday on the 25th of October, 1859, when the first drops began to fall in Pembrokeshire and Ceredigion. By mid-afternoon, it had picked up. By evening, waves were lashing the Welsh coastline. Through the night, the intensity grew until the wind and the waves became unrelenting in their ferocity. There was a steamer named the Royal Charter passing Anglesey. It got caught in these hurricane nearly force winds. It just couldn't avoid being driven onto the rocks. 465 people on board perished. Well, the disciples thought that was the fate awaiting them in this storm. But Jesus was with them, so where was he? Sound asleep. You can imagine the disciples, can't you, finding him, shaking him violently, forcing him awake and shouting, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." Panic, desperation, they come to Jesus. So Jesus leaps on his feet and, well, what? Well, he doesn't actually panic or move like that. The first thing he does is to ask a question. Verse 26, he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Can you believe that? In the storm at its height, the first thing Jesus does is ask this question. You can imagine the disciples saying, "Not now, Jesus. It's not the time for one of your riddles. Please do something. We are about to die." And then maybe if they heard the question, "Jesus, what do you mean? Why are we afraid? Can't you hear it? Can't you feel it? Can't you see it? It's obvious." They were about to perish and experience a watery death. But of course, the question highlights really for them and for us what was lacking. They were afraid. But the problem all was their view of Jesus, because Jesus says that showed they had little faith. Which is striking, because they had cried out to Jesus, "Save us." It's almost as if they knew he was their only hope, but clearly not much of a hope. Did they really think Jesus could do anything about this in the face of a storm like this one? Well, what would Jesus do? Well, we know, don't we? Verse 26, Jesus asked his question, but then into the wind and the rain and the sheer terror of the situation, Jesus rose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I think given that deafening storm, maybe the disciples couldn't even hear what Jesus was saying. But the wind could hear him, and the sea could hear him. Dead calm. Immediately. Smooth as a mirror, the surface of the water. Here was a staggering display of Jesus' authority once again. And so we're told, verse 27, the men marveled. I'm sure that's an understatement. Their jaws dropped. They couldn't get their heads around it. This is the most instantaneous quietening of a storm. So astonishing. And the disciples knew who was responsible for it. So they asked that final question. What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him? Now, one response to that question is obvious. No mere man could do this. Moments like this storm on the lake and moments in our lives where it's obvious humans are powerless in this situation. But not Jesus. Of course, he was a man, but there's much more to him. What sort of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Well, you can imagine the shock subsided as the disciples talked among themselves about what they had witnessed. They would slowly have sought an answer to their own question. And of course, the Old Testament scriptures they knew so well would have guided them to the clear, if mind-blowing, answer. A long time ago, God once said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And it was so. So back in Genesis, the Creator told the water where to go, and it obeyed. In Lake Galilee, Jesus tells the water what to do, and it does. Plenty more in the scriptures. Take the Psalms, and in particular the Psalm we heard earlier, Psalm 107, which tells us, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed." So that tells us, who stills the storm and calms the waves? It's the Lord God himself. So therefore, there's only one conclusion for the disciples to draw, and it is staggering that standing before them at that moment was the Creator himself. And of course, if that's who he is, who brought the universe into being with a word, then of course, it's only his word that is needed to bring it back under control. And Jesus has challenged them. If they really believed that, then they needn't have been afraid. As if a mere deadly, life-threatening storm could threaten God's king, the one who had authority over all the created realm. As if God's king would be stopped from carrying out the work he came into earth to do by this storm. In fact, had the disciples really trusted Jesus, they'd have known there was nowhere safer on earth to be than alongside Jesus. Well, the disciples needed to learn that lesson. Matthew's recorded it for us so that we will learn it too. So I guess for a start, let me ask, it's a very straightforward question, but fundamentally important, on which everything else will follow. Do we actually believe that on a stormy night on Lake Galilee, a life-threatening storm in full force, this man stood up and he said to the howling wind and the crashing waves, "Peace, be still." And they were instantly. I mean, are we convinced that in our world, in history, that moment actually happened? We should, because we have the historical evidence for it. But if we don't believe that actually took place, well, we haven't really got any faith, any true faith in Jesus, whatever else we might claim. But if we do think that we believe that, I wonder if we then draw the conclusions for us today. Because if we did believe that, it would transform our lives. We would stand out from all around us who are terrified, really, of what the world might throw their way. This is not promising for a moment that life will be plain sailing for those who follow Jesus. We will face these storms, maybe not on the sea, but there'll be those health concerns. We'll have strained relationships, trouble at work, the opposition when the world will be against us for following Jesus. The challenges of life in this world may seem overwhelming. It'll be well beyond our control. But are we persuaded that Jesus, the one we follow, has authority in all those areas? They don't threaten him at all. They are under his control. Whatever we find most hard, Jesus could transform it in a moment if he so chose to, which of course is why we pray, because it's worth it. And of course, often Jesus doesn't answer those prayers instantly, no doubt for good reason, but do we still trust him? That we know he is able to do that. And therefore, even if relief isn't immediate, we know that it will be. And he is so powerful, he must be working some good, even through this storm that we are enduring. So Jesus came to earth with work to do, and even a life-threatening storm on Lake Galilee is powerless to stop him. Still today, Jesus is at work, even through us, gathering his people, bringing them safely home. And again, nothing will be able to stop that. Let me lead us in a prayer as we close. So, Father, we do praise you for sending the Lord Jesus into the world with your authority. Thank you that he holds all things in his hands. All the hardest things we find in our lives are under his control. Thank you that we can trust Jesus, and we ask that we would trust him. And so in these ups and downs and challenges of life, some very serious, would we not fear, but instead keep on relying on the one who is powerful to save? And in his name we pray. Amen.